Today on the Girl Defined Show, we are talking about drag queens and drag queen events where children and families are encouraged to come and have fun, where these men are dressing up as over-sexualized, dramatized women, very unnaturally and very much with kind of parts flying everywhere. And families are now being encouraged to go to these shows. In fact, in a town very close to us, Dallas, Texas, there was a big Drag the Kids to Pride, a family-friendly drag show where families were encouraged to come and enjoy drag and, you know, expose kids because kids are so innocent. Kids are so open. So we need to start at a young age, kind of pushing the bounds of gender, pushing the bounds of sexuality so that their innocent little minds can just enjoy all that's to come. I mean, when you see pictures, when you look from an outside perspective, this is something I would never want to take my little son to, with his, you know, innocent little mind, because God has a plan for men and for women, for our sexuality. And when you are a Christian, you need to dig into that worldview and understand God's good, not binding design, but his good and freeing design for us. And that's what we're going to jump into right now on the Girl Defined Show. Hey, sisterhood. I'm so glad you're here having this conversation with us. I'm Kristen, and this is Bethany, and we are sisters, founders of Girl Defined Ministries. If you're new here, if you're like, ooh, this is a topic that I've been wanting to like listen to, learn more about, I am so glad you're here, because at Girl Defined, we are passionate about God's design for womanhood, which means we're also passionate about God's design for manhood, because he created them, male and female, and he has a good, beautiful plan for us. And as we talk about the sexual perversion, really the sexual confusion, the sexual delusion that we are being told in culture is normal, is acceptable, is something to be celebrated, we here at Girl Defined want to pump the brakes majorly and say, actually, this isn't normal. This, yeah, it might be normalized, but this isn't what we see in God's word. This isn't what's right, what's good, what's God's order, what is his good plan for creating us as male and female. And so we want to pump the brakes and say, hold on. Yes, you are being told you should celebrate this, but you don't have to. And in fact, celebrating is just going along with the delusion and applauding something that is not true. That is not reality. You know, men, we had an episode recently on transgenderism, men saying I'm a woman or a woman saying I'm a man. Like, we've got to get back to the Bible, to the simple truth that God created us male and female. And that's what we're passionate about here at Girl Defined, regardless of the pushback. And we want to encourage you to be courageous and bold as well and engage in these cultural conversations. And one of the ways that you can equip yourself, if you feel like, you know, when it comes to sexuality, all of these modern issues that are like really trending, really popular, really mainstream, I don't really know how to engage in these conversations. Or maybe it's something you're wrestling with personally and you feel like you don't know who to talk to. You're not sure who to get, you know, advice from or counsel or where to even go in the Bible for truth. We want to encourage you to grab a copy of our book, Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart, because in that book, we take a deep dive into God's design for sexuality. And we take a deep dive into why God created a male and a female in the beginning, how that should impact us, how our bodies inform us of who we are. We don't have to search for it. God has written our identity into our physical bodies, and then he gives us a plan and a good purpose and how to live out that design as a male or as a female. We unpack all of that. We talk about sexual struggle, sexual confusion you may face, how to find freedom and hope in the word. We share so many stories of women who have walked through so many different struggles and how God's word has brought so much freedom and hope and clarity and purpose to their lives as they have walked in God's identity for them. So please equip yourself in the truths of God's word, and Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart is a great way to do that. You can find that on our website at girldefine.com/shop.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We were just talking about this before we went live. Kristen and I remember, you know, we're close in age. So we're sisters, like Kristen mentioned, we're about like a year and a half apart in age. And so growing up, we did pretty much everything together. And one thing we love to do is go to like, which is very popular now, like thrifting. Like,
yes,
everyone's doing it. It's kind of trendy.
We were on trend.
And cool. Yeah, we were on trend like 20, no, more than that, like 25 years ago. But I remember we used to love to go thrifting, and our mom was a big thrifter, and all, you know, just how people thrift today, you find things and you kind of repurpose them, or, you know, we learned to sew as young, you know, young girls. And so we loved to just like altering things and making things. And we would even find like really cheap material at stores, and we would sew things. And I remember, which is crazy that you remember too. This is so long ago, but we went to this specific thrift store. And after a few trips, we kept noticing that in the women's section, there were these shoes that were extremely large, like larger than any shoe size that women typically wear. And we are tall. We're 6'1". We have big feet. You know, we're some of the big feet women over here. And it was kind of like at first, we didn't really think anything about it. And then after a few visits, we kept seeing these really large women's shoes show up.
They were like fancy, like high heels. These really like fancy dresses, like shoes. And we were kind of trying them on. I remember, weren't we? Like, whoa, these are like, they were size like 13 or 14.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have, you know.
Size 10. Yeah. If you have 13 or 14, not a big deal. But typically, you know, like we, you know, 10, we're like the 10s. And for most,
it's just not a just common average women's shoe size to see in a store.
But what's weird is I remember that our mom asked I think it was a man who was like, you know, working the cash register. And she was like, that's so interesting. I keep noticing these very large shoes up here. And so he told her that is actually a man who, I don't know if it was for drag or if it was just a man who thought he was a woman. I don't remember the specifics, but he told her. And then our mom, in kind of an age-appropriate way, because we were pretty young, told us like, oh, actually, those shoes are because a man likes to dress up as a woman, and kind of went through, you know, the problems with that. God designed us as men and women. And I remember it was shocking. Like, it's something that stuck with me. I was so surprised and so just disturbed, honestly. Like, why would a man want to dress up as a woman? It was so confusing. And think about it, 25 years ago, that the world was completely different than it is now. But what's not different is God's truth. And so what was disturbing back then, that a man wanted to dress up as a woman, should still be disturbing to this day, just because it's thrown in our faces. And there are famous, you know, drag stars on TikTok that people love and cheer on. And drag is such a huge part of just everything, all these pride parades and now shows where kids are encouraged, drag queen story hour, you know, kids, literally little school age kids are encouraged to go to these libraries where they can hear and be exposed to, you know, all these gender bending norms. And it is just becoming crazy, but it should be crazy to us. You know, it should be disturbing. Just when we were little and we were shocked by it, that's how we should all feel now, compassionate and loving towards those who are so lost. But also, it should be shocking. And as women, I think that this should be greatly offensive towards us. You know, men who are saying, oh, I'm going to dress up like a woman and make you look like a cartoon character, over exaggerate every part of your body, massive breasts, you know, awesome, massive, you know, rear ends, just everything is very sexualized. And we're celebrating this. I know there's a lot of history. We'll go into a little bit of that, but it's something that we should not be celebrating. We should not even be just silently standing by. The next generation needs us to have a voice of common sense. Young kids need us to be standing up for God's truth, to know that God is so good. He has a good design for men and women, and bending that, trying to push the bounds, is not within his freeing design for men and women, not within his original good creation for family and for gender. So we're going to get into that a little bit more.
Yeah. And today, like Bethany said earlier, we are focusing specifically on drag and drag queens. And even just in researching for this, because I have been seeing so much of it in the news and on social media and just everywhere, you know, people talking about it, it being celebrated, that we were both like, okay, we need to talk about this. But there were a lot of things I didn't quite understand. Like, okay, when did this come about? You know, what exactly defines a drag queen? And in researching, I found out there are drag kings and drag queens, and there are all these different types. Like, you kind of decide which one you're going to come out as. It's just this whole world that I am becoming more and more familiar with as I do this research. But it's just, it is so sad because it is becoming so mainstream and so normalized. And we're being told that, yes, we should not be shocked by this. You know, you should not be shocked by watching grown men walk around in women's clothing, wearing thongs, you know, walking in pride parades with little kids, you know, kids applauding kink, and parents telling their children, this is normal, this is fun. You know, that's just how they express their sexuality. Like, that we're told we should not be shocked, but there's a reason people are talking about it. There's a reason so much of this is making headlines. It is because it is shocking. It is being normalized, but it is shocking.
Well, and I also, jumping in right with that, there's that whole new show, Generation Drag, where they're bringing different kids to, you know, display their different characters, their different names. So that's why we're so passionate about this, because this isn't just like adults saying, we're going to do this. It's like, We are literally bringing children into this and encouraging them and celebrating them on TV, giving them their entire show to act as, you know, like a drag queen for these young boys to get up on stage and, you know, walk the runway and act out their characters over-sexualized, over-dramatized of a female and just applauding that. To me, that is, to me, that is such terrible abuse. And I think it should be criminalized. Like, this is horrific, but we're literally celebrating it by giving it a TV show. I mean, this is so heartbreaking.
It's such sexual abuse, but being applauded, being normalized, and you just wonder, we're not, you know, this is a newish thing being so mainstream. You wonder 5, 10, 15, 20 years, these kids who are being exposed to so much sexual distortion and perversion and confusion and being told, yes, this is normal, embrace this. You know, parents purposely exposing their children. Like, what do we think that we're going to end up with a more stable society in 20 years? Mental, you know, mental illness is a big thing being talked about everywhere. Like, where are we going to be in 20 years with all of this confusion happening to such young children?
And then you think about, which I heard someone talk about recently, they, you know, they would call them like sexual fetishes, where people get turned on sexually by something very unusual. And what's really sad is now, say a grown man who would be like, "Ooh, I'm sexually turned on by a young boy acting as a girl," you know, now we're basically throwing these kids into the hands of pedophiles and people who once had to keep their interesting and, you know, wrong desires kind of behind closed doors or behind, you know, secret websites. Now we're just throwing these kids out there for adults who are not
to be preyed upon.
To be preyed upon. Like, how can people not see this? And so it's just, that's a whole nother side of things, that not only is there abuse, but now we're just throwing these kids to the lions. You know, I think in 20 years, there are going to be so many sad stories that we're going to hear, so many testimonies of abuse and just, you know, kids now as adults speaking out.
Being traumatized, being scarred.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah,
what
so
happened to them.
A quick description. I actually pulled this from Wikipedia. So just what Wikipedia would describe as a drag queen, they quote, say, "A drag queen is a person, usually male, who uses drag clothing and makeup to imitate and often exaggerate female gender signifiers and gender roles for entertainment purposes. In modern times, drag queens are associated with gay men and gay culture, but people of other genders and sexual identities also perform as drag queens. Drag is known to break down gender norms and can thus be seen as gender bending." And then the article in Wikipedia went on to say drag queens' counterparts, so a drag queen's counterpart are called drag kings, performers, usually women, who dress in exaggeratedly masculine clothing. We're not seeing as much about that in the headlines. I don't feel like that is as maybe popular or is common, but obviously drag queens are. We're seeing so much of that in culture right now, just in the mainstream. And so to kind of rewind and give a little bit of a history, this is very nutshell. This is not expansive. This is not digging into all that there is to dig into, but just a nutshell history on drag and kind of where this came from, how this evolved, how this became what it is today. So going back to the late 1800s, early 1900s, men would act as females on stage, comedic skits, and dances. They were known as female impersonators. So this is kind of where that female impersonation, I know there was a time where females weren't actually allowed to perform on the stage, so men would play women's roles and act as female impersonators. At this time, being a female impersonator was seen as something for the straight white male. In the early to mid-1900s, female impersonation had become tied to the LGBT community and thus criminality. So it had to change forms and location. So it became more criminal, tied to LGBT, that whole community. It moved from being popular mainstream entertainment to something done only at night in disreputable areas such as San Francisco's Tenderloin. Here, female impersonation started to evolve into what we know today as drag and drag queens. People went to these nightclubs to play with the boundaries of gender and sexuality, and it became a place for the LGBT community, especially gay men, to feel accepted. And so this is kind of just in a nutshell, the history of how it went from, you know, one thing in the 1800s to something else, became associated with LGBT, gay, homosexuality, got pushed into the nightclubs. And that is where it has come from today. You know, you kind of, even like someone who's not in that world, you know, I'm not super like, haven't been up on everything. But as I'm learning more about this and researching, just reading articles, you know, you kind of see that shift from it being something that was done a little bit more in the shadows, right? Because it wasn't considered something that was proper or appropriate or something that was acceptable in mainstream society. to being something that was now pulled out of the nightclubs, pulled out of the shadows, put on the stage, put on, you know, mainstream for everyone to enjoy, put in the parades, put in activities and events for children. And now it's being something that we're told is completely acceptable and completely praiseworthy. And we mentioned Drag Queen Story Hour. I mean, you hear about this. Modern times, now you have these men, very sexually provocative men, dressing up as these sexualized women, and they're going into libraries. This started December of 2015. There was a woman who basically developed the concept. Her name is Michelle T. She developed the concept of Drag Queen Story Hour. She launched it, of course, in a San Francisco public library. No surprise there. Drag Queen Story Hour was adopted by the Brooklyn Library in the summer of 2016. And since then, it's traveled to various libraries, museums, bookstores, recreation centers, and parks across the United States, and then Canada, United Kingdom, and I'm sure far beyond that. And so now you have these, you know, like, I remember, I don't know if you remember when you first heard about Drag Queen Story Hour, you know, it was a couple years back, you know, I don't know, maybe like shortly after it became popular. I remember hearing about it and thinking, wait, what? Drag queens, men who are dressing up as these provocatively sexual women, they're being brought into libraries, this place of education, this place of learning, and not only into libraries, but into story hour for children, reading books to children. And we're being told this is a good and amazing and beautiful thing, that these young children can be exposed to this form of sexuality. And we're being told, wow, what a huge step in the progress of our world.
I mean, we used to go to, they would have story time at libraries when we were kids, and they still do. I mean, there's, you know, really sweet little bookshops where you can go and they read children's books. And I remember it was always kind of like, it seemed like an older granny that would read. And they were just sweet stories, maybe about being kind or sharing, you know, some of the old school, you know, Barney or Blue's Clues. Now those shows, you know, Blue's Clues is like woke out of its mind and just like ridiculous. But back then we were just learning basic concepts that kids struggle with, you know, like, how do I not hit my brother? You know, how do I
sharing
not share?
Sally.
Yeah. Okay. Make sure you don't, you know, it's like all of the basics, but now it's completely changed. And I mean, I know it happens, but I want to know, why are parents taking their children, you know? And there are many, many parents who say, oh no, this is a good thing. You know, I mean, the stories are endless of parents taking their children. And I love how you mentioned, like, already we're seeing what they call kind of like a mental health crisis of, you know, especially Gen Z, aged, you know, people that are struggling so much. Suicide rates are out. They are so incredibly high. And it's just so sad to me that we see the answer to, you know, bend the norms, to get rid of the family, to get rid of traditional values, that we need to go even further. And that's going to help it. You know, if we just expose kids to men dressing up like super sexualized women and teaching them how to twerk, this is going to help raise healthy, stable adults. If we just tell young kids, you actually, you know, your body is that of a female, but it's up to you to decide. That's going to really help us raise up a generation of stable adults who can think clearly. Like, just from an outside perspective, not even a Christian worldview, this is insanity. And I love that there are, you know, common sense voices out there. There are podcasters. There are, you know, just spokespeople who are saying, like, this is insane. This is not good. They're not even coming from a Christian worldview. They're just coming from a common sense. Like, this is messing up our world. We need to stop. We need to get rid of this. But then you have the other side. You know, someone said, anyone who thinks drag isn't for children is wrong. Drag is expression, and children are such judgment-free beings. They don't really care what you're wearing, just what you are performing, you know? So if you come to it from that worldview, I can see, like, wow, that is just completely opposite, completely different of, you know, in my opinion, a sane, stable, ultimately biblical view of the male and female. You know, if we get into schools, I know there's been a huge outcry of what schools are teaching. And I know even just in the news recently from, you know, basically the White House down, there's been a lot of outcry of what, you know, what's being encouraged and pushed education curriculum for sex education within schools. And there are a lot of parents who are really outraged because not only are they teaching in schools that, you know, sex and gender are two separate things. You might be born with, you know, this sex at birth, but it's up to you to decide who you really are. Sometimes they will conflict. You might not be the, you know, the sex you were born with. You might, you know, your gender might not be that. Then they're also going on to teach kids all sorts of awful sexual perversions and basically saying, you know, well, they're going to do it anyway, so let's just teach them the worst of the worst, you know? And so, you know, I'm grateful that parents are standing up and parents are starting to be outraged. And it's important for us as Christian women to not be silent, because the other side, those who are saying drag is okay, teaching kids that, you know, sex and gender are completely different, it's up to them to decide who they are, those voices are so loud. Those voices often get, you know, the front spots on Good Morning America and really big TV shows. But we need to be voices of reason as well. We cannot be afraid. You know, whenever Kristen and I talk about stuff like this, we get emails and DMs saying, thank you for talking about this. But you know what? What's sad is that so many of you are thanking us for being bold, but you're not willing to be bold yourself. And we're not perfect. You know, we get a lot of hate, and it's not like we love talking about these things. You know, it's not like we love, you know, being known as like the crazy ones. But more of us need to be standing up and speaking truth and saying, no, it's not okay for kids to be taken to these drag shows. No, it's not okay for men to dress up like exaggerated sexualized women. We need more of you to stand up for truth. So I want to encourage you to pray to God and ask Him to give you boldness, not just to silently cheer on, but to be willing to be a voice of reason. Because if you aren't, who else? Who? You know, we need more common sense voices to speak up in our generation.
Mm-hmm. I came across a really powerful testimony. I think sometimes when talking about this, we can become so fired up with the truth, and we can become so outraged at the insanity and just the moral depravity that we're seeing take place in our society, which is right and good. We should be outraged. We should stand for truth. We should be bold. But one thing that happened when I read this article is it reminded me of the compassion that we need to have as believers, as Christians, approaching this conversation, recognizing that the people, so often, many of the people, even drag queens, you know, people who we see, they look happy, they look fun, and like, oh, they're just embracing their lifestyle. But we're thinking, wow, that's such a perversion of God's design for man and woman, you know, and we just feel more outraged, remembering that these are real people behind the makeup, behind the costumes, real people with real lives. And for so many of them, life has not been easy. They may have had really rough childhoods. You know, just getting to know people's stories, getting to know like what brought you to where you are today. And I came across a story, and it was really, you know, just like, oh, like brought tears to my eyes, because it was a story. It is a story of a man who shared his testimony. He says his name is Kevin. I found this on Living Hope Ministries, a website where it has testimonies of people who have been set free from different sexual addictions or struggles or lifestyles. And he shares how, you know, he grew up as a boy, young boy, and, you know, he wasn't the rough and tough, like super masculine kind of boy. And so he would get teased by some of his friends. And sadly, he had a really abusive father who would tell him, like, you need to become a man. And his way of trying to make a man out of him was abusing him, even sexually, physically abusive, verbally abusive. And so here's this young boy, so confused, and now being abused by his father, the man in his life, being teased at school. And so he was very confused and felt like, something's wrong with me. I don't fit in. I'm different. Like, I don't know who I am. He didn't have anyone speaking truth into his life, speaking truth into, you know, God made you a boy, God made you a man. This is what godly masculinity looks like, not the picture you're seeing in your earthly father. But here's God's plan for you. He has a good purpose for you. There was no one speaking these truths into his life. And so here's this hurt, broken, confused young boy. And, you know, he's sharing this in his own words. And we'll link the article below if you want to read it. It's really powerful. But he goes on to say, you know, as he got older, he was just trying to find happiness, just trying to find a way to fit in. He started, you know, feeling same-sex attraction. So thought, okay, well, I must be gay. Maybe that's my problem. I just need to embrace this, continue to be teased, continue to be bullied. And then he got a little bit older and started tampering with drag. And as he did that, he, you know, started traveling around. And, you know, as soon as he was old enough to work in strip clubs and nightclubs, he started working as a drag performer. And I'm talking a teenage boy. And he's working in these really just distorted, perverted environments, but he's being applauded and he's being praised and he's being told, like, you're beautiful. We accept you. We love you. You know, he was making people happy. And so he started to think, okay, this is what I'm made for. This is my purpose. This is my identity. This is who I am. And this continued on, you know, when he shares different encounters of just so much sexual brokenness, you know, rape and all these different distortions and abuse that are just happening rampantly. But he just feels like, I finally found who I am. But deep down, it wasn't enough. He wasn't satisfied. He wasn't happy. He wasn't ultimately fulfilled. And he shares about, you know, as time goes on, as the years ticked on, he knew something wasn't right. He knew that there was just something wrong with the lifestyle he was leading. He's like, he just knew this wasn't healthy. This wasn't right. This wasn't ordered properly, but he didn't have a biblical framework. He didn't understand God as his creator. You know, he kind of knew about God. He talks a little bit about his grandma, but he didn't know God or Jesus personally. And then he shares, and I actually just want to read this part of his story. He came back home after, you know, leaving one of his jobs. And he says, after being home only a couple of months, one of my friends invited me to go to church on Easter, and I agreed to go just to be kind. I became really interested in the message that day, and they had my attention. I saw this modern day version of the resurrection of Jesus Christ being played out on stage, and I began to cry as I saw all that Jesus had done for me while realizing the lifestyle I was living was not honoring to Jesus. The preacher asked if anyone was ready to accept Christ, to raise their hands and pray. He said, I was one of those people, and that was the beginning of my walk with Christ. And he goes on to share that it wasn't just an overnight transformation, but that he saw the beauty of what Christ was done. He talks about, you know, as he would go back in, you know, he didn't just leave everything immediately. He would still kind of hang around with some of that, the friends and in that lifestyle a little bit. And people would say like, wait, you're a Christian? What? You can't be here. You know, what are you doing? And they would make fun of him and laugh at him. But he's like, no, I want to follow Jesus. And he talks about the verse being so impactful, 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And he talks about how he was believing that. He was saying, God, I don't want to walk this path that isn't honoring to you. I don't want to walk this path of being a drag queen, of just giving into my desires, you know, my sexual desires for men. I want to submit every part of my life to you, God. And in you, I am a new creation. And so he was believing this new identity that he had in Christ and choosing to walk in that and choosing to believe that God could grant him new desires. And at the end, he even talks about, you know, God is changing my desires. He said, I didn't come to Christ to be changed. I came to God with an open mind. And as he came to God with an open mind, he talks about, you know, he wanted to have a healthier lifestyle. God changed him from the inside out and even changed his desires over time. He gave him a desire to want to get married to a woman and have a family. He started having these desires he never thought possible because God was transforming him and doing a work that only God can. And he finishes his whole article by stating, I am a transformed man of God and a child of the King. And I just think that is such a powerful testimony. That, you know, we're told that this is trans or, that this whole lifestyle of drag queens, like, embrace it. These people are, they're finding their true identity. They're happy. Look, they're smiling. Like, we've just got to get on board with this. But here's a testimony of a man who was in that, who had experienced so much brokenness. And ultimately, I think the pinnacle of the story is like the power of the cross, mm-hmm. the transformation of Jesus to rescue any, all of us. We're all sinners in need of a savior. And that incredible transformation to change someone's desires, to give them a new identity, a new purpose. You know, old things have passed away. Behold, he's making all things new. And just seeing that testimony, I think should be an encouragement to all of us to keep fighting the good fight, to not grow weary in doing what's right and speaking truth and loving others compassionately, because the power of Christ is so transformative.
And whoever that friend was, I love that they invited him to church. And I think that's so, should be so convicting to all of us. I think we look at people and we go, oh, well, maybe I would invite them, or maybe I would tell them about Jesus, but you know, I don't really, they're kind of like, they would think I'm weird or they're a little too far gone. So Jesus probably couldn't help them, you know, like sadly, a lot of us make those judgments and we decide who God can reach and who he can't. When obviously in this man's life, it was the power of the Holy Spirit, God opening his eyes, doing a work in his heart, making him, you know, a new creation, helping him to understand he is made in the image of God. He is a child of God. So it's just an encouraging reminder to all of us, not only to be bold on any platforms that we have, but also to the people around us, you know, like, let's not be afraid to love those that are different than us, to love those that we think, oh, well, I wouldn't want to invite them to church because maybe they, you know, whatever. No, let's be brave. Let's be bold. We never know, you know, whether they come or not, how God might use that in their life, because ultimately we are just the servants. We are to be faithful, but God is the one who does the work. And it's exactly, you know, this man discovered that, you know, he discovered who he is by knowing who God is. And that's how it works for all of us. We discover who we are, not by looking inward, not by figuring our, you know, our lives out, but by knowing who God is. And so if you're sitting here wondering, well, how do I really understand, you know, who I am, or how do I really talk about this? Honestly, the more you get to know God, the more you spend time in His Word, the more you faithfully look at Scripture and say, wow, God had a plan in the beginning. In Genesis 1 and 2, we see God intentionally designed this world. He intentionally created the male and the female. He put them within the covenant of marriage. He placed sex and intimacy within that covenant as a celebration and as a picture of something greater. We've gone into that in great detail in our book, Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart, Discovering the Beauty and Freedom of God-Defined Sexuality. So grab a copy of that wherever books are sold or on our website, girldefined.com, to take a deep dive into God's amazing design for your sexuality and to give you a better framework for how to view drag queens and, you know, everything to do with sexuality and this whole idea of bending the gender norms. You know, if you want to feel confident, grab a copy of Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart. But just knowing, like, God is not, He's not surprised by this. He's not surprised by any of our sinful desires. And He, you know, He laid out a clear plan in Scripture. Throughout all of Scripture, we see that God genders things. He, male and female, you see that over and over again. You see He has a good plan for sex and intimacy within marriage. You see that marriage is a reflection of, you know, Christ and the church. It's something so much more. So ultimately, at the end of the day, we are not about worshiping ourselves. We're not about finding our happiness. We're not about becoming into, this is who I really am. We are about knowing Christ, pointing others to Him, and ultimately using our lives to worship Him, to point eyes to Him. And the more we clarify our purpose, understanding that's what we were made for, a lot of these issues become like, well, it doesn't really matter because that's not what my life is about. My life is about pointing others to Christ. So as a Christian woman, I just want to encourage you to remember that you are God's child, you are made in His image, and you are designed to know Him and to point others to Him. So I just want to encourage you to be bold, to be courageous as you continue to learn, and to just be another voice that stands up for truth, because your peers need to hear it, your family needs to hear it, the next generation needs to hear it. And, you know, if you're not willing to speak up for truth as God's child, you know, what are we doing? That is part of our design. That's part of what we are here for. I know this was a big conversation. We're going to link a few other episodes that we've had on transgenderism, on sexuality. So if you are ready to go deeper, just click the links below and please leave a 5-star review. You know, these conversations aren't easy to have and they're not the most popular in the culture. So we really, really ask you to leave a 5-star review, whether on Spotify or an Apple Podcast. Leave a written review and share this with one friend. Right now, say, okay, who can I share this with? Take a screenshot, post it to your Instagram, or share, you know, just tap that share button. That really helps the word spread and for other people to know, hey, I can be courageous in this area too. There are some common voices, common sense voices speaking up. So yeah, let us know if you like this, and we will see you again next week.